Shame doesn't change us. We can't shame ourselves into change. My name is Jessica Huddle, and I'm your host. Thanks for listening to this episode of What's the Truth? It's part two. We're talking about taking your thoughts captive, how to move from feeling to healing. I would probably describe myself as the Christian checklist kind of girl pretty much the first 3 to 4 years of knowing Christ. I just thought I had to read my Bible, check. I would go to church, check. And I would tithe somewhat, half check. I thought that the more that I did would equal the more that I would be loved. We often think that our actions qualify us for change. We become such doings instead of beings. And I think the question is always, how do we take our thoughts captive? But really, how do we get the word of God from our heads to our hearts? And something that I love exploring is this idea that, I mean, God is both relational and he's logical. And we both connect through that. You know, we often hear, renew your mind, take your thoughts captive, read the word, all of which are great. They're actions. They are doctrine. They're beliefs. They are basically one side of our brain, as people would say, that maybe the left side, even though, I mean, both sides of our brain works together simultaneously, but often it's described as left brain, right brain. But the left side of our brain is really this logical, renew your mind, action steps, it's verbal communication. But the right side of our brain is more relational. It's non-conscious. It's non-verbal, I should say. It's memories. It's where our identity is stored, deep-rooted. So God is both relational and he's logical. He's belief. He's read his word, renew your mind. But he's also, let's connect. I made you for community. I made you for empathy. I made you for joy. They both go together, but we're often only talked about with one side. But how do we weave them both together beautifully so that we can be whole beings and not just half beings? How do we take the word of God as our foundation so that it changes our feelings and it changes our mind? Because despite what we feel, it doesn't change the truth. So I want to talk about taking your thoughts captive. And it's really just this 5-step process that I want you to think about when processing your emotions or the thoughts that come your way. Number one, I just want you to acknowledge that something isn't right. Just acknowledge the moment. Acknowledge the emotion. See, when we begin to feel our heart race, maybe our palms start to sweat, maybe you feel that tipping point, maybe you even feel a little bit of fire. I felt fire before, almost like a burning sensation when anger would start to rise up in me. Maybe we feel like we want to cry. I mean, those are the moments where we just need to take a moment and go, something is going on. I was just triggered, because our bodies are communicating with us. So we just need to take a moment, slow down, and just acknowledge. That's it. Hey, something's not right. My heart's starting to race. My palms are starting to sweat. I feel that fire inside me. I feel like I want to cry. What's going on? And I love to describe this and look at this as something basically like our brain is like a Rolodex. Our bodies are like a Rolodex as well, because our bodies follow our brain and our brain follows our bodies, depending on which one impacts the other. And when we think of a Rolodex, if you know what a Rolodex is, it's kind of definitely old school, as you would say, but it has a little knob on the side and it has a bunch of little papers inside where it has like names and phone numbers and details about that contact. Well, our brains work very much the same way. They have details about the event that you experienced. It has a name for the event, and it's just like a little Rolodex, the little knob on the side. Every situation we encounter will come and be based on a past situation, past information. It goes to the Rolodex of your brain. What do you have stored in your mind that changes your brain, right? That says, something isn't right, or what's going on? And when we acknowledge that something isn't right, it reminds me of James 1:19-20, where it talks about, so then my brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. I want you to hear this. There is kindness and slowness. We live in a society that praises how fast you can go and how much you do. Just like I was that Christian checklist girl. Hey, I was going to church and I was tithing somewhat and I was reading my Bible and I was doing all the things, just read, do, that I wasn't connecting the other side, which was the relationship side of who God was. I was really quick to speak and I was really quick to hear what I wanted to hear. And I was really quick to get mad. But when I began to slow down, I realized that I can extend kindness towards myself and to others. Number two is, now we're going to identify the emotion. I want you to think about, do you have anger? Do you have envy? Because once we acknowledge that something isn't right, we can give ourselves permission to explore what we're feeling. Is this hindering us or serving us? So for example, when we experience fear as an emotion, we will have feelings of being afraid, frightened, or scared. When we think about identifying the emotion, I want you to think it kind of being the tripwire. It allows us to begin to feel so we can kind of move towards God's truth to what we are experiencing. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind or self-control, depending on the verse that you read or the version that you read. So even when we feel, we have the power to put what we feel into submission. Super important. So we need to first acknowledge, we need to second identify. Number three is acceptance. So we need to allow ourselves in that moment to accept what we're feeling, because if we don't, we will be run by it. Now, what I want to make sure that I'm clear on is, I don't mean that you are accepting it as a part of your identity. So if you are experiencing anger, you are not an angry person. If you are having envy, you are not an envious person, because what happens is we start to take those feelings and begin to label them as absolute truth about who we are. And when we begin to accept those, we begin to just live them out because, well, there is no other way. And this is just who I am, right? But that's not the truth, because when we are run by our emotions, when we run away from them. I was in a relationship with Hank for 2 years too long because I didn't want to deal with being alone, period. I was in a relationship for 2 years too long. And as you can say, I stayed with him and dated him when I had no right to date him simply because I didn't want to be alone. So I ran from this idea of feeling lonely. I ran from it, which actually caused me to be in a relationship that I didn't need to be in. The fear of being alone kept me in a relationship with Hank. When we refuse to run, we can evaluate why we are experiencing what we're feeling. We may have feelings, but what's the truth to what we feel? We can feel sad, but feeling sad does not make us a sad person, right? Just like I said a moment ago. Number four, what is the emotion telling you? I already talked a little bit about how our bodies have kind of this Rolodex and it's going to go through all this information that we have stored. So as we've learned, I mean, there's stories surrounding what we believe. And we have to ask ourselves, what is this emotion trying to communicate to us about who we are? What's going on? The fruit of truth should always bring restoration, healing, redemption. Any kind of thought should lead us towards God that is based on truth. It should lead us in this direction of forgiveness, of hope, of faith. It should always lead us there. But the fruit of a lie will always bring destruction, separation, division. It will cause you to look at your brother or your sister in Christ as the enemy. It will always cause us to question who we are. So we have to figure out, where is this emotion, where is this feeling taking us, and what is it telling us? Is it leading us to a truth, or is it leading us to a lie? Just like kindness is slowness, a slow response gives us precious space. That means that we no longer will just respond and react. we can now actually begin to process. We're acknowledging, we're aware, we're identifying, and we're recognizing that this right now, what's happening is saying that you're not good enough, right? And you know, you can recognize now that that's a lie, and you can bring yourself back to this reality of what is really happening, what are they really saying? And then maybe you can actually ask questions to clarify. A slow response gives us precious space. Romans 8:13 tells us the importance of not living according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Number 5, conversation with God. This is important. It's our last touching point in this awareness process, in this taking our thoughts captive, because you really just want to put what you're experiencing on trial. What is this, a lie? Is this the truth? What are you trying to say about me? What are you trying to say about this person? What are you trying to say about God? And when we have our conversation with God, it probably feels hard, uncomfortable, awkward, but we have to, because it's interrupting our normal thought pattern to create new ones as we renew our mind, interrupting our thought patterns, right? Because we're aware of what's happening. We're acknowledging, we're identifying, we're accepting. We're beginning to think, what is this emotion telling me? What does it lead me to truth? Does it lead me farther from truth? And as we begin to interrupt, because we're aware, we begin to create, we're able to create new neural pathways, and how this is how we renew our minds. So change happens in the tension. We feel the tension. We feel how hard it is. We feel the lie opposing the truth, right? And saying, no, go this way. This is the easier way. You've done this your whole life, versus the truth that says, no, I've called you higher. You're more than a conqueror. You've already won the battle. This is the way to go. It always feels like that uphill, right? Uphill climb with 100 pounds on your back. That's when we go to the truth, because it's against everything the world tells us and everything we've probably believed for most of our lives. We will have tension when we think a new thought in opposition of what we're used to thinking. And I say this here all the time, to change the way we think, we must challenge the way we think, right? That changes our life. I want you to think of a railroad, and this is kind of how I think of our thoughts and kind of interrupting that thought pattern. If you think of a railroad, at the point of changing in direction, there is a railroad switch. And the switch is that little lever that changes the course that the train will go on. Is it going to continue to go straight, or is it going to start a new route and go maybe to the left or to the right? Our moment of interrupting that thought pattern is where we insert the railroad switch. Because a railroad switch allows the train to be guided from one track, right, to another, from one path to another. And at that meeting point of the switch is where we will feel the greatest tension. I want you to think about that. Because oftentimes we run from tension, we oppose tension. So we want to think about acknowledging, identifying, accepting, recognizing what the emotion is telling us. What conversation are we having with God about it? And do we have the truth to speak to it? Shame doesn't change us. Change happens in the tension. There is kindness and slowness. And one more thing I always like to say is Scripture is not bandage. Scripture is the ointment for the wound. I will have all 5 steps summarized for you in detail. So make sure you head to the show notes below so that you can sign up, get on my newsletter so that you get these emailed to you every single week so that you don't miss anything. So that way you don't have to go to, you know, the website or find the show notes. Just head to the link below, subscribe, sign up, and you will be able to get these emailed directly to your inbox every single week. Don't forget, come hang out with me on Instagram as well at Jessica Hoddle. Send me a direct message. Comment on today's post. I want to know which number, what part are you going to be working on the most? Which one is you like, oh, I can't get to this point? Share with me. Is it that you're learning how to identify what emotion is, or you're being aware, or you've never really thought to put your thoughts on trial? I want to hear from you, the listener. So come hang out with me in my inbox at Jessica Hoddle. over on Instagram. And don't forget to hit the show notes below so that you can get these emailed to you every single week. Until next time, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.